Shalom to all. Today's Avos Yerushalmi Vavim is Avav, and we're starting about the third line with the words Al-Dati to Rameh Rav Yudah. And today's Avos sponsor, Lili Nishmas, Marsh Mem Sarabas B'Akamoshe, Hernish Shama should have an Oliyah. So we're discussing a brisa that had three machlokes regarding up until when a ketana is allowed to do Miyun. And the basic understanding is that once she leaves the state of being a ketana, so she can't do Miyun anymore. And one of the three shitas, so Rameh Rav said, up until she's maybe Shtei Cyrus, she develops two hairs, that's two pubic hairs in the private region. She's not a ketana, she's went to the stage of being a Gedola, so she can't do Miyun anymore. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Ad she yir b'hashachar, there needs to be a lot of dark, which means her private area has to have a lot of hair. And then we had two different memories from Reb Shimon. One of them, he said she could do Miyun as long as she never received a new kiddushin from her husband. In other words, her original kiddushin with her husband was just derabanan because she was a ketana, and now even though she entered the stage of being gedola, as long as she didn't receive a new kiddushin, technically Miyun would be allowed. Now, in the previous amud, we quote Reb Shimon saying ashet espashet hakaf, then when the kaf, which literally means the spoon, that's basically this bump of skin that protrudes from her a little bit above her private area, once it starts smoothing out and becoming flat, so then she can't do Miyun anymore. So now, based off of that, the Gemara says as follows. According to both Rameh and Reb Yudah, they say everything has to do with simonim, that when she develops a certain simon, that's the cutoff for Miyun, so everything makes sense. Rameh holds a Shtei Cyrus, Reb Yudah holds Yar B'Shachar, but both of them are in essence agreeing that once she develops a simon, she's already not a ketana, so she can't do Miyun. Whereas Altaet Reb Shimon, do Amar, according to Reb Shimon, who says, that's proper Girsa, that's only once. There's another kinyan which was added onto her, which means she re-accepted a brand new kiddushin after she was gedola. So me'ata, from now, afilu gedola. That would mean that even if she's a gedola, she should technically be allowed to do miyun, because it's very possible that even though she became a gedola, she never received another kiddushin, so she should still be able to do miyun. But the reason why that can't be is because we had also quoted this other member from Reb Shimon saying that the cutoff for miyun is ashet espashet akaf. So how do you understand this? And the answer is, Amar Rav Yitzchak v'keini, this really is so. Meaning, actually, according to Reb Shimon, technically, she would be allowed to do miyun even though she is a gedola. So why do we have this cutoff shear of ashet espashet that kaf? It's just that they shouldn't be very promiscuous. In other words, we technically run into an issue if we're going to follow Reb Shimon's shita that she's allowed to do miyun even when she's a gedola. That's because what does miyun do? It uproots the original kiddushin and makes it as if she was never married. So imagine a situation where she became a gedola. She's now chayv in mitzvahs. She's aware of what's going on. She's mezana with another man, somebody other than her husband, and then she does miyun. So it turns out that she just found a legal loophole to uproot her original kiddushin, and she's not ever for being mezana. Now, obviously, that's going to increase pritzus in Klal Yisrael, and therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, there's a particular cutoff date. We continue discussing this. Asya of the Kumi Reb Yaisi. There was a story that came to Reb Yaisi. There was a girl they weren't so sure if she was too old to do miyun. Amar, he said, yivdku dadeha, check her breast. This is another simon. If her breasts are developed, that's a sign that she isn't a ketana and she's already considered a gedola. Ask the Gemara, mak Reb Yudah? Does this mean Reb Yaisi is going like Reb Yudah? Reb Yudah, Reb Yudah says, ad shi'ar b'shachar, that she's only allowed to do miyun up until the shachar has been increased. This examination of dadim actually tells us that she already reached the stage of bagros, which is a half a year after she left the stage of being ketana. We know that by a girl, there's three stages. There's a ketana, which is up till 12. From 12 to 12 and a half, she's called a naira. That's already entering the stage of being gedola. And then from about 12 and a half and on, she's considered a bageres, which is a full-fledged woman. And this is because dadim is a shita of Reb Yudah that tells us that she's already a bageres. Now, the problem with that is as follows. V'hada om Reb Shubin Levi, that's proper gear. So what about Reb Shubin Levi said that ein ben yimais and nairus lemais habagros el shishadash hamovad, that the time span in between nairus and bagros is 6 months. And therefore, how could Reb Yaisi tell them that they should do this bedikas dadim? Why is that a problem? Well, because that's mashma, that if the dadim were not developed, then she still could do miyun, but really that shouldn't be allowed, because as we just said, since there are 6 months in between nairus and bagros, and the dadim are simon of bagros, so even if the dadim are not developed, she still already lost her ability to do miyun before that, because she already became a naira before the dadim are developed. So how could Reb Yaisi say this? And another question on him, Ravo said in the name of Yechanan, ain't oisin maisa, that we don't do a deed, which means we're not going to pass in a case based off of this simane ha'elyon, this upper simon of the dadim, because that's not a valid indication that there's riboy shachar. So how do we understand what's going on? So we're answering this last question by saying, hadad tamar, this was only said b'say chazman, within this man, meaning within that 6 months, this whole stage of nairus, before she reaches bagros, then we're not going to pass in and say that she reached bagros before the assumed 6 months is over. Aval acharzman, but if it's after the time, meaning if it's the day that the 6 months of nairus was completed, so in oisin maisa, we will pass in based off of simanim. If we see that the dadim are developed bright and early in the morning of that last day of the 6 months, we'll say that she's for sure not a naira anymore and she's 100% a bageres. From Hach, however, over here, before the 6 months is over, so Safik Rabba Shachar, Safik Loi Rabba Shachar, we're still besafik. We don't know if she's reached that stage yet of Rabba Shachar al Lavan, if she has more hair down below, and therefore, if she does miyun, kaifa anili ten get, I force her husband to give her a get, because maybe the miyun wasn't valid and they're still are halachically married, so he would have to give her a get. yet. However, Rabbi Shachar, once we know for sure that there's a Riboy Shachar, if she does Mion then, we know for sure that the Mion was not valid because they're considered 100% halachically married Midai Raisa, and therefore in Nagia Beget, he doesn't even have to touch a get, which means we're not going to force him to give her a get, even if she did Mion, because her Mion was for sure not valid. And we've got Halacha Gimel. This Mishnah is not going to tell us any Chidushim. We already know everything the Mishnah is going to tell us. It's just we've only spoken this out verbally. Here the Mishnah writes it Beferosh. So the Mishnah tells us, Be'ezet Tzad Patras are saying, what's a real practical situation? The Erva Patras or Tzara. The first Mishnah in the Masechta told us that there's 15 women that they pater their Tzaras and Tzaras Atzef Kal Oilam. So what's an example of that? So that's what we learn now. Let's say his daughter or one of the other Arayas that are mentioned in the first Mishnah are married to his brother. So we have Reuven and Shimon as brothers, and an Erva of Shimon is married to Reuven, Vola Isha Cheres, and Reuven also has another wife who's not an Erva to Shimon, Umeis, and then Reuven died. Well, Kshim Shabita Petura, the same way that his daughter is pater because there's no Yibam with a daughter, so Kach Tzarasa Petura. So too, his daughter's Tzara, her co-wife, is pater, and there's not going to be Yibam with her Chalitz over there either. Now we go on to the next case of the Mishnah that said that the Tzara paters her Tzara. What's that? So again, even though we already spoke this out, here the Mishnah says, Beferosh, Hocha Tzara's Bitai, if the co-wife of his daughter went, Nizlach Vasheni, and married his other brother, so the co-wife of Shimon's daughter went and married his brother Levi, Vola Isha Cheres, and Levi had another wife, Umeis, and then Levi died without children. Well, Kashim Shatzar's Bitai Petura, the same way that Tzara's daughter's Pater, she was Pater already from the get-go, because she was Tzara's Erva, well, Kach Tzara's Sarasa Petura, so to her co-wife, meaning the co-wife of the original co-wife, she's also Pater, and Afilain Mea, even though there's 100 brothers, it would be the same thing, and again, we already spoke this out in the first Mishnah. Now, according to Racham Kanievsky and other Mepharshim as well, the next four lines of Gemara are to be skipped. They're inserted here mistakenly, and they're not part of the Girsa. Therefore, we go to Vavon Beis on top, onto Halacha Dalid, another Mishnah, which is really just a continuation. Says the Mishnah, Beis Etzad, in Meisuhain, Tzarsein Mutarais, what's the case going to be? That if the Erva died, so then the Tzara is Mutter to do Yibam, Haisabitai, either his daughter, Ay Achsim Kalarais Oelu, one of the other Arayas, Nusais Lachiv, they're married to his brother. So again, we have Reuven and Shimon, maybe some other brothers as well. Reuven's married to Shimon's daughter, Vleisha Cheres, and he has another wife as well. Now, Meisabitai, if Reuven's daughter dies, Ayn is Garshor, she gets divorced. And then his brother died without children, so Tzaras Muteres, the co-wife is Mutter, because the Erva is out of the picture already. In essence, there's only one wife. That wife is not an Erva, and she's not Tzaras Erva, so Shimon is allowed to be Miyabim her. The Mishnah concludes, if the Erva was able to do Mion, but she didn't do so, Tzaras Achiletz is Lom Sevemes, Tzara has to do Chalitza and no Yibam. Now the Gemara mentions Mishnah, Kate said, Imei Suhain Tzar Sein Mutaris V'chulu, and here we're actually going to be talking about the last case of the Mishnah, where if they were able to do Mion, and they didn't do Mion, so Tzaras Achiletz is Lom Sevemes, says the Gemara, Kine Masisa, this is what the Mishnah is referring to, Kol Echayil Mayin V'loi Miyana, if she was able to do Mion, and she did not, Umeisa, and then she died, Tzaras Achiletz is Lom Sevemes, so Tzara does Chalitza not Yibam, and this is referring to a case which we've had previously as well, where again we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, let's say, and another woman as well. However, Shimon's daughter was a ketana, so she was technically able to do Yibam, but she did not. Then Reuven died, and even though she's technically able to do Mion now, even after Reuven died, she still did not, and then she died. So that's a case where Chalitza would have to be done with Itzara. Yibam's only allowed to be done with Itzara if the Erva had died before her husband died. But if she died after her husband died, so we need Chalitza and not Yibam. And we've got the Halacha Hey, the Mishnah tells us, Shesh Arayas Chamuris Me'elu, there's six Arayas that are more chamer than these, because they're married to other people, their tzaras are mutar. And we'll explain what this means. Now, who are these six arayas? Imai, his mother, meaning Shimon's mother, the Eshes Aviv, or the wife of his father, V'achais Aviv, the sister of his father, Achais Eme Aviv, his sister from his father, meaning his paternal sister, V'Eshes Achiv Me Aviv, and the wife of his paternal brother, V'Eshes Achi Aviv, and the wife of the brother of his father, meaning his uncle's wife. All these women are more chamer, these are more chamer arayas, and since they're married to other people, said the Mishnah, their tzaras are mutter. Second more quotes Mishnah, Shesh Arayas Chamuris Me'il B'nei Shenis Suz Lachem V'chulu. So that's the Gemara, we have a little bit of a gears change here. Ma Inu Chamura. What does that mean? That these Arayas are more Chamur than the previous ones. Hacha Kares, Vacha Kares. Hacha Mamzer, Vacha Mamzer. Both over here and in the first Mishnah, there's an Isser Kares for this man to be with the Erva, and if he does live with this Erva, so Mamzer is going to be produced from that union. So what does that mean that these are more Chamur than the previous ones? And the answer is Ma Chamurais. What does that mean that they're more Chamur? She'inon Yechailisli Nasi La'achim Shloi Baveira. It means that they're not able to marry his brother without being an Aveira. In the first mission, when we had 15 Arayas, every single one of those women was able to marry his brother, and that wasn't an Aveira, that was no issue, and therefore when his brother dies, there's this Erva falling to him B'Yibam, and then we have all these discussions. However, in this Mishnah, these six women in particular, they're not even able to marry his brother, because they're not just an Erva to him, they're an Erva to his brother as well. Let's just take the first one, his mother. Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven's not allowed to marry Shimon's mother, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us. But B'nei Shehein Nesuas Lacherim, since these six women have to be married to somebody else. They simply are unable to be married to his brother. So therefore, if their husband dies, whoever their husband is, he's a random fellow, but if he dies, so our guy whom we're talking about, Shimon, he's allowed to marry the tzara of this erva. I think we're days with this, with Rav Chiya Kain. Rav Chiya also teaches this in Braisov, Bekulin, and all these. If they theoretically were able to marry his brother without being Ivan Avera, so the tzara would be potter from chalitza and yibum because she's tzara's erva. But again, anytime a woman is not allowed to marry his brother, she has to be married to somebody else. So when her husband dies, so her tzara is permitted to this fellow. Continuing with another similar memra, Tanur Rechi teaches in Braisa, Ein tzara ela me'ach bavad. This only problem of marrying the tzara is when it's coming from a brother. When his brother is married to two women and one of them is an erva, so he's not allowed to marry the tzara. However, if a random person out there is married to an erva of his and that person also has another wife, so when that person dies, he is allowed to marry the tzara of that erva of his. Now, Amar Biyasi Rebesi says, Masisa Amar Kain. That's exactly what Amar Mishnah is telling us. Because they're married to other people, somebody who's random, not his brother, it's our same mutar, it's the tzara's mutar. But now Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, would they hate tzara minashuk? We should have the same din regarding tzara from the marketplace, meaning a random person. In other words, he's asking on this case that we just said. He's suggesting that when you have a man or somebody who's an erva to him marries somebody random and that person has another wife as well, when that person dies, he should not be allowed to marry that tzara. So right away, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, Lo yishmi Rabbi Yirmiyah, hadad tanu Rabbi Chiya. Did Rabbi Yirmiyah not hear what Rabbi Chiya taught, that this is not a problem? And Lo yishmi masnisen, b'nei shenisus lacherem tzarsei mutaris. Did he not hear what our Mishnah said, which is the same thing, that since they're married to other people, that tzara is mutter to marry? What's Rabbi Yirmiyah asking? It seems to be clearly against Rabbi Chiya's braisa and our Mishnah. And then Chazav Amar, he went back and said, in the Shmiya, yes, he did hear it. Ella, k'inish the Shmiya mila umachi Ella. He's just like a person who heard something and is asking on it. Now Rabbi Yirmiyah asked another question. Habala tzara, ma'ushayichayv olay mishum eishas ach. If a person was bayal tzara's erva, is he over the isra of eishas ach, which is a very chomer isra, that's kares, or is only isra lav, and the isra of eishas ach is not here anymore? So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, ilu ifshal tzara bula eishas ach yos. You're right. It would just be an isra lav if we were to theoretically say that there's an isra of marrying the tzara when there's no discussion of eishas ach, and that would be, according to what Rabbi Yirmiyah suggested previously, that maybe there's an isra of tzara's erva even when it's not coming from a yibum situation. Saying the only reason why it'd be asr to marry tzara's erva is because of a lav, not because of eishas ach. However, if shel eishas ach b'loy tzara, if shel tzara b'loy eishas ach, is this a possibility? Are we able to have eishas ach without a tzara, and are we able to have a tzara without eishas ach? No, as we said before, from our Mishnah and from Chiya's Braisa, then the only isr of marrying tzara's erva is when it's coming through a yibum situation, and that obviously comes along with the isr of eishas ach, and so we see that has not been removed, and that's a level of isr of being with the tzara. On Zayin Amal HaTav, just one more Gemara, we ask on the case of the Mishnah, where we had mentioned these six arayas that are mar chamer, they can't even possibly be married to his brother, and one of those was Eishas Achiv Me'aviv, the wife of his brother from his father, meaning his paternal brother's wife, and the question is, V'eishas Ach Lo Yivim Tahi, isn't that a case of Yibum? Isn't that his Yivama? His brother's wife is his Yivama, so what does that mean? She can't be falling to him to Yibum. So Rav Yisrael Bunny answers, Tifter, we could explain, Shahayla Banu Me'achim, we're talking about where it's his brother's wife, but she already had children, and so she most definitely is not able to be married to a different brother of his, because she already has children from one of the brothers, and so that's the case we're talking about in our Mishnah. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with another Mishnah continue to discuss this, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.